away you go. Thank you. Welcome to Morning Prayer, being brought to you from St David's Cathedral, Hobart. My name is Richard Condy and I'm the Bishop of Tasmania. We welcome you if you're joining us from a parish in Tasmania, especially if you're joining us on the phone this morning. We're so glad we have the technology to stay connected together. We also welcome people from other parts of Australia and the world who've joined us online. And a special welcome to those of you who don't normally attend church. Perhaps you're here today looking for hope and direction, or just curious about the church. We're delighted to have you. We commence our worship by hearing from God's word. Through Christ, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Open our lips, O Lord, and we shall declare your praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Friends in Christ, we come together spiritually, spread across Tasmania and in other places as the body of Christ to meet with God and to take our part in the building up of his church. We will give thanks to God for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, hear from God's holy word, and pray for our world and for ourselves. Today we will hear from Psalm 121 about the Lord God who keeps our life and protects us. And we will pray especially for those affected by the coronavirus, for God's mercy and protection. The Bible tells us to approach God confidently through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we do so, we must confess our sins, seeking forgiveness through God's boundless goodness and mercy. From Daniel chapter 9, hear these words. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, by following his laws which he set before us. So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. God of all mercy, we humbly admit that we need your help. We have wandered from your way. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what is right. You alone can save us. Have mercy on us, wipe out our sins, and teach us to forgive others. Bring forth in us the fruit of your Spirit, that we may live the new life to your glory. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. God desires that none should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. In response to his call, we acknowledge our sins. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear these words of comfort from Romans chapter 8. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. We're going to hear from God's word, and so I'm going to pray now that we would hear and understand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom and understanding. As we listen to your word, may we know you better, love you more, and learn to praise you in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, and starting at verse 31. Then Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." But they understood nothing about all these things. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what he said. As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Then he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight, and following him glorified God. And all the people, when they saw it, praised God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. May your word be our guide, your spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. We pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's so good to be able to meet with you again and to be able to share God's word with you, which is an ever-present help in these days. It'd be great if you could get your Bible and open it to Psalm 121. It's been another surreal week as we've seen more and more closures and the shutdown of many activities. I said to my son this week, it felt like I was living in a movie script. There's this great sense of unreality to it all. Pictures on the TV of the busiest cities in the world ground to a halt. The queues of newly unemployed people outside Centrelink and a mixture of stories of heartache and difficulty and intense kindness at the same time. The dominant themes of the week for me have been grief and fear. I've been so tired, and I think it's carrying both of these things in myself and in others. Grief about the relentless change and the losses of all that we hold dear, not to mention jobs and livelihoods and the like, and fear about what the future might bring. Fears about illness and death, fears about the unknown future, fears about the economy, fears about employment, fears about living and working at home for long periods with no obvious end. So when that happens, I want to ask you, where do you go for help? Psalm 121 is a pilgrim psalm, one of the psalms of ascent used by the people of Israel as they went up to Jerusalem to the feasts in the temple. Imagine the scene. Wandering through the desert wilderness, perhaps on the way up from the Jordan Valley or down from the northern country or up from the Negev, the desert, to the south. The pilgrims are walking along, trudging through the hot and dusty land, and they would have been filled with all kinds of feelings. So they sang these songs of ascent, Psalms 120 to 134. We can especially identify with our psalm this morning. They sing, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come?" You can almost see it in your mind's eye, trudging through that dusty valley, looking up at the mountains all around you, towering over you, perhaps feeling a bit afraid and wondering where your help was going to come from. There's a sense of helplessness when they see the mountains all around them and they cry out for assistance. Who is going to help on this road? Where can they put their trust when the going is tough, when they are afraid or unsure? From where will my help come? But the psalm is something more than a travelogue, isn't it? It actually speaks about life. Like the pilgrims on the road to Jerusalem, we often find ourselves dished up something that makes us feel helpless, like those foreboding mountains. Troubles and uncertainties, unknowns and dangers. We can only imagine what they might have been in the lives of those pilgrims. But we know our situation well enough, don't we? Even before coronavirus, troubles at work, troubles in relationships, projects that seem impossible, a health challenge, grief from a broken relationship. You know what I mean, don't you? And I look up at the mountain and I say, where am I going to get help? There are lots of temptations at this point, aren't there? Mine is work harder and smarter to manage the situation. If I can just nut it out, then I'll know what to do. I rely on my competence. But coronavirus has made all of that seem impossible. Others of us run to the self-help books on relationships or management techniques. Still others of us don't even know where to look, and we end up despairing, being anxious, worrying about tomorrow, fretting over the situation. We've seen examples of that in the last few weeks, haven't we? The only explanation for all that toilet paper buying is that people seem to want to wrest back the control of their lives in anxious times. Where do we go for help? Well, the pilgrim psalmist had the answer in verse 2. He said, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." This is the real answer to where we flee for help. There is no place to flee other than into the arms of the Lord God, Yahweh, our Creator. If you have access to the one who made the world, then surely any obstacle that the world throws up at you, like mountains and valleys and relationships and workplaces and even viruses, then the best place for help is the one who made it all. Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." The pilgrim psalmist knows this too. He knows that the mountains around him are mountains that have been put there by God. He knows the God he knows and worships, and that this God is the origin of his help. "My help comes from the Lord." I wonder if that's the first cry of your heart when you look for help. To look first to the Lord, to seek help from the one who has made the world in the first place. The psalm changes voice in verse 3 from the voice of the pilgrim to the voice of the teacher. And in particular, he talks about being kept. In fact, a derivative of the word keep appears in all but one of the remaining verses. Look for a moment ahead at verse 5. "The Lord is your keeper." What does this mean? To be a keeper is to be a guard or a watchman or an attendant. You know those ads on TV for the safety of children around water, and they say that if you take your eyes off a child for a second that they might drown. They're trying to make parents vigilant, responsible, watchful guardians of their children's safety. This is who God is for his people. He is your guardian, your watchman, your keeper. How does he keep the pilgrim on the way? Well, let's look at verse 3. "He will not let your foot be moved." Or better, he won't let your foot slip and slide, to tremble or stagger. As the pilgrim went along the rough gravel paths on her way to Jerusalem, she'd get the metaphor. Last Friday, Helen and I went bushwalking up Mount Wellington to get away for a couple of hours. A couple of times on the way, on the rocky path, we lost our foothold for a second. My feeble attempt to protect her was, "Be careful, but God won't let your foot slip," the psalmist says. The point is, God will not let your life lose its foothold and go sliding down the embankment. He'll hold you. When you waver and stagger and tremble, God's attention of you is acute, but it is also constant. Look at the second half of verse 3. "He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Something lovely in these verses. The first line speaks of the individual. The "you" in verse 3 is singular. "He will not let your foot be moved." But the second line applies to the people of Israel as a whole. God's protection of Israel is extended to the individual pilgrim. That's you and me. The promise for the people is a promise for the individual. And it's a promise to us as God's people, even now, sitting in our own seat. But that promise is his hypervigilance over us. He won't slumber. That is, he's not going to doze off in a chair on a Saturday afternoon to slumber any more than he's likely to sleep soundly at night. God doesn't snooze or take a nap. He doesn't sleep at night. Even the best of parents like to get some sleep at night, but not God. There he is, sitting by your bed, watching you constantly through the night and the day. There's a lovely prayer service buried in the book of in our prayer books called Prayer at the End of the Day. Sometimes when I'm particularly anxious, I read these prayers before I go to sleep to calm my anxious heart. Here's how they go. "Save us, Lord, while we are awake. Protect us while we are asleep, that we may keep watch with Christ and rest with him at peace." And the service ends with this prayer. "Lighten our darkness, Lord, we pray, and in your great mercy, defend us from all perils and dangers of this night, for the love of your only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ." It's a reminder that he's up all night when I'm resting in my bed, and I can leave my anxieties with him. I wrote to the clergy this week, encouraging them to have a technology Sabbath, a full 24 hours each week without listening to the news or looking at social media or fretting over email or being anxious about the coronavirus news. Because God is always on the job. "The Lord is your keeper," verse 5 says. "He is the shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." Day and night, by sun and by moon, the Lord watches over you. He shades you from the burning sun. He protects you from the cold desert nights under the moonlight. The point is, life is full of all kinds of dangers, all kinds of inconveniences like the heat and the cold, the adversities and miseries of the human life, as Calvin called them. But the Lord's help is a match for them all. Verse 7 says, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life from the jackals, the bandits on the road." Verse 8 says, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forward and forevermore." All your movements and forever, the Lord will guard, will keep and attend to. I think of the front door of my house, the latch on the inside and the keyhole on the outside, and the amount of times people in our house use that door over the course of a year. And the Lord is watching. Even when the door is quiet, as we're locked in isolation, he watches us. Not just the beginning and end of a pilgrimage, like this pilgrim psalm, and the day-to-day activity. But as one writer puts it, he watches us from the dawn to the sunset of our days. And the reason he does this is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've heard in our gospel reading today of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That's how he can care for us forevermore. He has our future secure. The Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who made the mountains, the one who sent his son to die for me, is watching me, keeping me every time I come and go, now and forever. As we step through the rhythms of daily life, waking and sleeping, eating and drinking, coming and going, walking and running and sitting and laughing and crying and standing and sitting and loving and being loved, worshipping and sinning, thinking and speaking, working and playing, he keeps your life. But please note that never once in this psalm does he say that he will make the road easy, that he takes away the pain or the problems or the calamities or the mountains or the pandemics that strew our path. The scriptures are real. They know that our lives will be filled with difficulties of one sort or another. But the assurance is that he will be there. He will keep us. When I was a young lad, I had some fears, and when I had to face them, I taught myself to get through the day, and I imagined putting my hand into God's hand, like a little child, being able to face the difficulties and horrors that the world was able to dish up. Like these words from Psalm 37, "Our steps are made firm by the Lord when he delights in our way. Though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong, for the Lord holds us by the hand." He doesn't promise us a cushioned life, a comfortable life, but a kept life. When you look to the mountains, when you watch the TV news, when you read the next installment of the unfolding horror of COVID-19, when you find yourself out of work or out of money or lonely and isolated, filled with fear and racked with grief, where will your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. We are sent into the world secure in the knowledge that in all our comings and goings, the Lord of the universe is our guardian and watchman, and that we are kept. May the Lord be with you. Amen. Let's affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us join together in the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and your truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Have mercy on the poor and oppressed. Hear the cry of those in need. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you.
Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Thank you for being our God, our Creator, our Rock and Redeemer. Thank you for the mountains and the sea, the sunshine and the rain. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your love that endures forever. Almighty God, we come before you today to pray for the swift and effective containment of the coronavirus across the globe. We pray for governments to act with wisdom and compassion and for the equitable distribution of the earth's resources. We pray for all who are working on a vaccine and treatments, that solutions will be found and that the virus will be defeated. We give you thanks and pray for all who care for the sick, especially for hospitals and medical and nursing staff during this time. Merciful God, we pray for the healing of the sick and suffering, for the comfort of all who mourn, and for the protection of the vulnerable. At this time of great change, we pray for our society as it faces the many challenges of unemployment, homelessness, and isolation. We especially pray for an end to violence and selfishness, and a commitment to kindness, patience, and love. Lord, we pray for the church and for Christians around the globe that we may find ways to be your salt and light during this time. We pray for the Diocese of Tasmania, for Bishop Richard, all those in pastoral leadership, and for our parishes. May we be a church for Tasmania, making disciples of Jesus. We pray for the days and weeks ahead in our lives, for work situations, for changes to schedules, for families and students as they adjust to new ways of learning and living together, for those who are lonely, isolated or anxious, and for those who have no home or safe place. We pray for your comfort and strength, for your protection and provision of all who are in need. Help us to build strong connections and to encourage one another, even though we are apart. We pray that you will help us to find creative ways to be a blessing to our communities. Our hearts are full, Lord, and sometimes we find it hard to express our thoughts and feelings. But we thank you that you know us, you love us, and you hear all our prayers, even when we cannot find the words. Thank you for your goodness, your enduring love, and the hope we have in you. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, you have given us grace to agree in these our prayers, and you have promised that when two or three ask together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, Lord, the desires and prayers as may be best for us. Grant us in this life knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, eternal life. Amen. Our service is coming to a close. Can I encourage you again this week to make a cuppa, pick up the phone and call someone who you'd normally speak to on a Sunday? Let's try and stay as connected to each other as we can. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got any questions, please call us or email us. We're here to serve you. And if there's anything we can do to help, we'd love to be able to do that. Let's pray our final prayer together. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.